tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Excellent is your name in all the earth. How great you are, how mighty you are, how holy you are, how faithful you are, how true you are. Lord, you're great, and you're greatly to be praised. You're so worthy today, God. In spite of how we feel, think, reckon, God, you're worthy of all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Every bit of energy we got, you're worthy of the praise and the glory. We honor you and reverence you in this place. Help us to learn how to honor and reverence you with our lives. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us. Help us, God. We just don't know how to do it. And we need your help. Will you help us? We don't know what words to say. We don't know what actions to take on. We know you deserve the glory. We know you deserve the praise. Help us to express it the way we should. Help us, Lord. Help us. Help us to go beyond our fears, our shortcomings, pride. Help us. Because you're worthy. And if we close our eyes right now, we want to know that we've given you glory. Because you're worthy of the glory. We say thank you. We say we love you. We say we appreciate you. And Lord, we sure enough need you. Every good and perfect gift, you gave it. And Lord, you're worthy. We bless you in this place. Not going to ask anything from you. We just want to thank you for being who you are. Thank you for being God on the mountaintops, and thank you for being God in the valley. Thank you for being my God when I'm healthy. And thank you for being my God when I'm sick. Thank you for being my God when I got money. And thank you for being my God when I'm broke. Thank you for being my God when I've got people. And thank you for being my God when people forsake me. Thank you for being my God when I'm up. And being my God when I'm down. All I'm trying to say to you, God, is we thank you for being God yesterday. Thank you for being God today. And thank you for being God forevermore. Thank you, sir. Lord, I thank you now that we're not just your creation, but we're your children. You are a loving Father. We thank you for a right relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on and bless the Lord in this place. Good morning in the name of Lord Savior Jesus Christ. In him we live, move, and have our being. To all of you, my father's children, to all the officers and members of this body, to our ministers of the gospel, to all of you, we are grateful to God for this opportunity, this chance to be in God's house and to share together one with another as we come to give God glory, nothing but the glory. It is a privilege to be in God's house one more time. Amen. Amen. Church is not a place. It is a people. And we as the church, all we do is come together to worship him. You come to this building to worship, and we leave here to serve. It's more than what you feel. It's what you owe him. And I want to challenge those of us who are not getting anything out of church to start giving more. Maybe it's not about what you get from it. Maybe it's about what you're going to give to it. And I'm bound to believe that every last one of us in this room got some glory to give God. There's some praise we can give him. There's a thank you we can offer to him. All of us got something that we can give the Lord. In the words of the psalmist, what shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits? So much he has done for us. If you knew how blessed you are, it would blow your mind today. Amen. There's a word from the Lord. We want to continue in our sharing on the book of Romans, chapter number 8, the victorious chapter. And I hope that you receive it better than you're looking today, that you've got victory in Christ Jesus. On your own accord, you don't have any victory, but in Christ Jesus, you've got victory. Glory to the Most High God. Amen. Romans chapter number 8. Last week, we looked at there is good news for the guilty, that there is no condemnation. And we go further today in the word of God. Romans chapter 8, want to commence reading at verse number 12 and a few of the following. Romans chapter 8, commencing at verse number 12. Are we there? The scripture records thusly, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. May God continue to bless those who read here and apply God's holy word. I want to tag this text this morning, live better. Live better. Tell somebody next to your neighbor, live better. That was the wrong one. I know you're nervous about the coronavirus. You just fist bump them. You ain't got to touch them, but just fist bump them, elbow bump them, and say to them, neighbor, oh, neighbor, you can live better. Give God praise he wants to tell us on today. It is somewhat agreed. You may not agree with this on this morning, but I want to make this statement to you. Maybe you'll agree with me or not, but everybody who has a license ought not be driving. If you've passed by certain people in the vehicle, you've been in traffic with them, you start to wonder who taught them, where in the world they got their license from, who did they pay to get their license. Everybody with a gun shouldn't be shooting. Because guns in the hands of one man is for protection. Again, in the hands of another man, oh Lord. Everybody who has a license to do certain things maybe ought not do it because they're not living according to what they've been given. Just because they have a license does not mean they should be properly driving. Normally, people pay certain fees to renew them, and they don't ever go back and get tested or recertified. And so they just keep the certification or keep the paper. But if you look at their deeds and look at how they're conducting themselves, it doesn't look like they really should have certain license. People are funny. The world we live in is very complex. And all I come to try to share with you this morning is, just because you saved does not grant you and I license to live any kind of way. And we've got to grow. Somebody say grow. We've got to grow beyond the point of saying, just because I'm in church, I can treat you any way I want to treat you. Just because I'm apostle or a bishop or a pastor or whatever gives me license to live any way I see fit to live. That being in church and being in God does not grant you immunity from life circumstances. That why we travel this road, just because we licensed don't mean we should. You know, my grandfather taught me this years ago. That just because they make stuff in your size doesn't mean you need to put that on. Some stuff, just because you can wear it, doesn't mean that it fits you. You've got to be careful in this hour, brothers and sisters, that just because you're saved, that your life doesn't stop just being saved. You and I are called and have been saved for a purpose. You have been saved by God, not so you can boast and brag about you getting by and getting away. You and I have been saved and kept by the grace of God so that we can help somebody else know about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus. And Paul wants to share this discourse with this group of Roman Christians who just now getting the fact, and they're shouting now in this church, in the first part of chapter number 8, they shouting. Because he's told them no matter what happens to them, there's no condemnation. You cannot be condemned for what you have done, what you're doing, and what you will do. And that is shout and talk to a believer on this morning. That God sent Jesus to be a once and for all substitute for the sins of mankind. That Christ died for what you did, Christ died for what you are doing, and Christ died for what you may have planned to do. There is no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. That's good news on a Sunday morning, that you cannot be condemned. There is good news for those of us who know that we've done some stuff. And the church now, listening to Paul's doctrine, they are shouting to the point where Paul wants to let them know, I'm not finished preaching, but they thought that he done got to the conclusion because all they needed to know was, I can't be condemned. But Paul's not finished talking to the Christians. And God is not finished talking to us, because I'm looking at us today and I see our spirits, I feel our spirits, and we're wondering, why is it you think that you're all right because you've been through that water? You think that you pretty much don't have any other requirements. There's nothing else you really need to do because you've joined church. Thank God this morning for Sister Jayden, this morning, who came and gave her life last week, and we took her through the rite of baptism on a Sunday morning. And I don't want her getting the wrong idea about this thing called Christianity, because she's going to witness people who watched her get baptized live worse than she lived. If we're not careful, she's going to watch folk who supposed to love the Lord hate and talk bad about one another. If she's not careful, if we're not careful, this young woman who just gave her life to God is going to be confused about her theology. She's going to be confused about her walk with God, because the same folk that shook her hand may not even speak to her when they see her at school, may not speak to her when they see her at Walmart, may not even know who she is, because we're not living better. And I want to tell you this morning that I thank God that you are living blessed, but I call you today to start living better. There is a better way for you and I to live. We've got to learn how to lift and raise a standard. And the body of Christ, because you have so much freedom, we look at what we can do, and we don't look at what we should not do. And listen, just because you can do some stuff does not mean that you should do some stuff. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Just because you can get somebody told don't mean that you should get somebody told. Here's what it is. You're supposed to be so thankful that God saved your soul. You're supposed to be so happy and appreciative that he healed your body. It's just some stuff you don't want to do anymore. If God delivered you from alcoholism, you ought to be so grateful, because you know what it was like to be in a ditch. You know what it was like to be all strung out. So that when God brought you out of it, some in you said, Lord, I'm too thankful to go back to it, so I'm going to make up in my mind I'm going to live better.
Somebody who's been in prison and God has let you get out of it and God has brought you out. You ought to be so grateful to God that God brought you out and he kept you in it and he brought you through it that you'll say, God, I ain't going back. You done been too good to me to go back. I've come too far to go back now. You're supposed to be trying to live better. That's the premise today what Paul wants to argue to us. And he moves forward in his discourse in verses 5 through 11. He's talking about us dealing with the fact that you're not done living yet. Yeah. It would be nice to know that once you get out of the water, once you take the Lord's Supper, that you will now be going to heaven. I wish I could tell you now that when you come out of that water, you will ascend up to heaven. That you will sit at the right hand of the Father, right next to Jesus, maybe sit in his lap. I wish I could tell you that's what's going to happen. But unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, when you get out of that water, when you take that preacher's hand, when you eat that bread and you drink that wine and you leave those doors, you got to go back to living. You got to deal with life. You got to deal with family. You got to deal with job. You got to deal with foolishness. You got to deal with mess. You got to deal with craziness. You got to deal with sickness. You got to deal with debt. You got to deal with divorce. You got to deal with life. And just because you got saved does not mean that you will not deal with life. Just because you Holy Ghost filled does not mean you won't deal with life. I don't care how much oil you pour on yourself. I don't care how much you slap yourself with oil. You still got to pay them bills. You still got to go to the doctor. You still got to go home. You still got to low down people. You still got hard-headed children. You still got a stubborn husband. You still got to live life. And I can't keep doing church with folk who acting like they ain't living life. What makes you think you ain't got to deal with stuff just cause you in church? And you can't hide in here for 2 hours. You got to go right back out and live life. And Paul tells him, he says, listen, I know you're happy now, but I want you to understand some stuff about yourself. I want you to understand what this is that you've got going for you now. Because you are saved and because there's no condemnation, you don't mean that the devil go leave you alone. The reason I want you to know that you're not going to be condemned is because every day of your life, the devil going to come tell you, you really ain't all that. He's going to send stuff to your life. He's going to send people in your life that's going to tell you, I remember when. He's going to send certain issues. He's going to send certain principalities to come your way and challenge you and I to make us think that everything we did was for nothing. All that shouting was for nothing. All that Bible reading was for nothing. You shaking people's hands was for nothing. He's going to try to make you believe that you got to feel it to receive it, that you got to have something new happen to perceive it. But I come to call you today that you ain't gonna feel saved. You just gotta know you saved. Sometimes you ain't gonna feel like shouting. You just gotta know that you've been chained. You gotta know what God has done. You got to believe in your heart that you're chained, because sometimes, that the truth be told, I just don't feel it. And you've got to be able to handle this when you leave church. It's easy this morning to hide in church because nobody really knows your story. Nobody know what you got going on. Now, if anybody who's spiritually in tune, they know you got something going on. You know, you can just tell somebody got something going on. But most of us, truth be told, really ain't trying to get that fixed. I'm really not wanting to be delivered. I really don't want to be healed. I just really don't want the symptoms. You don't like what comes along with certain things. And you're trying to figure out how to navigate this without the symptoms. Instead of going to the doctor, you know how we do. Instead of going to the doctor, we go and get over the counter to manage the symptoms instead of going to the doctor and find out how to get better. And so most of us feel like, I got baptized. What more is there for me to do? I've been saved. I came and got prayer. I ought to be good to go. Y'all put oil on me. Y'all used the whole bottle on me, remember? I ought to be all right. I ought to be good to go. Because y'all done prayed and laid hands on me. And then now you upset, some of you kind of upset with the church, because I wasn't supposed to be having these problems still. I wasn't still supposed to be having these problems because y'all prayed for me. Y'all told me y'all love me. Y'all told me God is good. So why am I living so bad? May I suggest for a moment, just for a moment, that some of the reason why we're living bad ain't nobody's fault but ours. If you would just do me a favor and don't look out a window and don't look at somebody else, I dare you look in a mirror and really see your number one problem. Because we really don't understand what be going on. Listen, Paul says, listen, yeah, you're saved. Yeah, you Holy Ghost. There's a spirit of God in you. He said, but the spirit of God in you is at war with the flesh part of you. Wait a minute. The preacher just got through telling y'all that you saved. Holy Ghost filled. Hallelujah. But there's some flesh attached to that. There's some human nature attached to that. There is some you before you met Christ that still wants you to act like you ain't never met Christ since you met Christ. Lord, I'm going to say that one more time. That's repeatable. There is some stuff in you that wants to come at you since you met Christ to remind you what you were before you met Christ when you meet Christ to make you think you ain't ever met Christ. I wish I had somebody tell the truth this morning and some thoughts you done had, where I got that thought from. I ain't thought about them in a long time. Where in the world that came from before you met Jesus? I ain't been wanting to drink nothing. I don't know how long. I ain't never had no issue with that. Why am I so irritable before Christ? Because every day there is a flesh part of us that we've got to fight and battle. And Paul keeps telling us, Paul say, listen, I know y'all shout now, but Monday morning y'all ain't gonna feel like shouting. And you got to still have victory on Monday. You still got to have victory on Tuesday. Do you believe today, y'all? I need to talk to somebody who really believes it. That the same God make you shout Sunday is the same God that'll keep you Monday through Saturday. Do you really believe that in your heart? That the same God that got you out on a Sunday morning is the same God who can keep you every day of your life? If you really believe that, just give him a praise like you know he can keep you. I'm not talking about everything being the way you want it to be. I'm not talking about all your I's dotted. I'm not talking about your T's crossed. I just want to know, do you believe that God can keep you every day of your life, not just when you get to church? All right. So if we believe that, we've got to look and see how much responsibility we hold in order to live better. He keeps telling us. Paul kept telling them, they ain't want to read it, man. They ain't want to fool with it. Paul kept telling them, he says, you know, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's about your mindset. Because there's a strong possibility that we got you out of that water and you ain't changed your mind. Lord have mercy. It's a strong possibility. I'm not saying it happens here. But there's a strong possibility that you can grin in church and dig ditches at the house. It's a strong possibility that some of the folk you sit next to are just as fake and phony as they want to be. If you were to follow them to the car and follow them home, they won't know nothing about no Jesus, no Bible, Mary Magdalene, or nobody else. It's highly possible that the people you're sitting next to, or maybe there's one sitting in your seat right now, you'll catch that for the week over with, may be an individual who won't give to God's kingdom, but will get in the car these last $2. It's highly possible. So sometimes it ain't that God has not brought us better. We're not willing to lift our standard to live better. And God come to tell us today, if you really want to be victorious, I can help you live better every day of your life. Aren't you tired of coming to church feeling better and losing it by Sunday evening? I don't know who I was talking to right there. I know I'm talking to some people who wore out because you come to church and you feel better and everything, you're not as weighed down as you were, but time you go back home, it come right back on you. Let me suggest something to you. It never left you. You just chose to let God have his way, and then when you went home, you took God away. Amen. So what I'm saying to you today, if you go live better, number one, understand is you got the power to choose. Amen. Oh, I want to shout somebody there. I just got to share this with you. You've got the power to choose. When you are saved, you receive a portion of the Holy Spirit. And as you grow in God, you've got to open up the door of your heart and allow more of the Word and more of the Spirit to dwell. The Holy Spirit does not hit you when you need it. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of those who love you. If somebody told you they got to throw a spirit on you, they throwing one on you, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Because if you are truly saved and converted, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Now, the world has called it a devil on one side and an angel on the other. And an angel telling you right and the devil telling you wrong. But the spirit, the one that's telling you right is the Holy Spirit. It is not your conscience. And the one on the left telling you do wrong, that's you. There's a battle between the spiritual you and the natural you every day of your life. Lord Hamburgs, I'm trying to share this thing. And every day, truth be told, you and I make a choice who we go listen to. Every day of your life, you've got a choice. You've got the power. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to make choices. The Spirit don't make you do anything. The Spirit comes to you and reminds you of the Word of God. The Spirit reminds you that you can do better. The Spirit reminds you you can go higher. The Spirit reminds you you ain't got to cuss them out. The Spirit reminds you you ain't got to get them back. The Spirit reminds you, put that bottle down. Spirit reminds you, don't you go over there. You know what's going to happen. The Spirit gives you that chance. But that flesh part of you, you human. Ain't nobody perfect. One ain't gonna hurt. They can't tell me nothing. They in the same shape I'm in. That's flesh telling you that it's all right. But here's the problem. When you think about the choice you make, nobody ever thinks about consequences. And you gotta be very careful, brothers and sisters, because the devil will never tell you consequences. Spirit reminds you, listen, the Spirit is so powerful that the Spirit will tell you consequences of listening to the devil. The devil never tell you consequences of listening to the Spirit. Because you know if you listen to the Spirit, you ain't going to listen to him no more. So he never talks about consequences, but he makes your choice so easy. It's quiet now, church. Because you didn't know, you kept thinking because you saved that I just got to do this. You ain't got to do nothing. You choose. And I get wild with folk lying. I got to love you because I'm a Christian. You're supposed to love me because you're a Christian, but I know when you loving me, you ain't. And don't hide behind the fact that you in church and you still treat me like a dog, I know you don't love me with your lying self. Because the Spirit does not make you. Ooh, the Spirit hit me. No, he don't. He dwell. If something hits you, that's somebody hit you. Spirit don't hit you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. All that holler. That ain't the Spirit. Because the Spirit does more than knock you out in church. Amen. He make you live right everywhere else. Amen, Lord have mercy. That's when you know you got the Holy Spirit, when you don't cheat the clock. Amen. You get them people they change back. That's Holy Spirit. You don't call it no blessing. You got them people's money. Get them people their money back. Ooh, look at the blessing God done gave increase. Get them people their money back. You stole their money. You got the power to make choices. Look what Paul said. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. In other words, you know you got no condemnation. Now you got to realize you don't have any obligation. You don't just have to live stupid. I don't care if you are black. You ain't got to be crazy. I don't care if you are from a single-parent home, you can get married. I don't care if you are from Winfield, you can be better. Just because of where you are does not mean that's what you got to be. You don't have to be a creature of your environment. You are called to make life better everywhere you go because you got the Spirit of God working in you. Somebody say amen. And it's time out for us making excuses that I'm just going to be a creature of my environment. I got the power to choose. I'm not obligated to live stupid. Young people, just because everybody else doing it don't mean you need to do it. Grown folk, just because everybody else doing it don't mean you need to do it. Because some of y'all are a bunch of followers too. Lord have mercy. You don't have. Oh, brothers, can I talk to my brothers for a minute? You know, a man go be a man. You don't have to. I got to sow my wild oats. You sure got rid of them things, man. Who's gonna say we can be better than that? You can't get help today until you tell the truth and say, I chose to do that. Nobody made me. Nobody put a gun in my head. This is why y'all worship. I'm going to tell you something. I know y'all mad. I know y'all get frustrated. Can I tell you real quick? I get it, man. I do. I get it. I grew up in church. I get frustrated with stuff too. Listen, this is why worship leaders and our ministers get frustrated with y'all. Here's why. Because nobody put a gun in your head and told you come to church. Now, young people, your mom probably put a switch to your head or a belt to your head. I get that. And told you come to church. But you grown folk, nobody put a gun to your head and told you that you're obligated to be in worship Sunday morning. We came under the pretense that everybody here wants to be here. That you came here because you want to give God glory. You're thankful for what he did for you. I've seen several of you this week. I've seen your story. I've seen firsthand how God delivered you, how God opened some doors, how God tore down some walls, how God said yes. So it messed folk up. That when you come say you want to praise a wonderful God and you sit there like God done you bad. And I hear you, I ain't got to praise God like you do, and just cause I don't pray don't mean I don't know him. Let the redeemed of the Lord. But then if we go to the forestry building. I'm going one of them concerts. I'm going. Me and my deacons, we going. If they ain't already there. We going. We gonna get us a table? Big round table. Drinks on me, water and orange juice. Drinks on me. $200? No, we ain't getting no table then. We just staying. We going. And I bet you I'm going to see the same folk who sit here like this Sunday. All the dogs bark. All the ladies meow, 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 meow. And nobody told you you had to do it. You feel like you wanted to do it because you're glad to be where you are. Well, all God want to know sometime, are you glad that I gave you life? Are you glad that I saved your soul? Are you grateful for a roof over your head? Are you grateful for clothes on your back? You remember I brought your child out of bondage? Remember how I healed your body? Can you sometime lift your hand? Can you sometime smile? Can you sometime say hallelujah? Can you sometime say thank you? Because you got the power to choose that. A America is tough because America is a democracy. And in democracy, they always talk about your liberties. It always emphasizes what you can do. And very few people talk about the restrictions on those liberties. You got freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want. But wisdom and spirit ought to tell you some stuff you ought not say. And just because I can, don't mean I should. Freedom of expression, what I wear. Okay, you can wear that, but Big Mama. Freedom of the press. I can write whatever I want to write. Say what I want to say about somebody. But everything I can write, I shouldn't write. And then you don't want to deal with consequences. Because consequences of that is somebody can sue your behind for libel or slander. Libel is what you write and lie. Keep on texting lies on people. And they find out you done sent the text. They can take you to civil court and sue your note not have no money self. Because you couldn't stop texting something you ain't got no information on. That's what people can do to you. And that's the stuff they don't tell you about you running your mouth. You running behind a lie telling something that you heard about somebody, and if it get back to the wrong person, they can take your butt to the judge, and they can sue you for slander, for defamation of character. So keep talking about what you heard. The right one gonna take you in front of the judge. Your Honor, too late then. So just because you can does not mean that you should. And God gives us the power to choose. So our option, our mission is to live better by making better choices. Look what Paul says, for if you live after the flesh, and Paul gives you consequences to help you make a better choice. If you live after the flesh, you will die. In other words, not just necessarily the physical death, but you're going to feel like death. If you keep living to serve your flesh, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. Amen. It will not benefit you anything to keep living after your flesh. The result of strictly doing what you want to do, everything your flesh tells you to do, is death. It terminates. It runs out. It doesn't benefit you. It's a dead-end street to keep running after your flesh. Now, here's the problem. Flesh, running after the flesh is easy, it's fun, it's cheaper, feels better, so it's a natural thing to do. Because sometimes it costs you to do right. It costs you to say no, because people may leave you when you start standing up and living better. Some childhood friends, they don't want to fool with you no more when you decide to live better. And they're going to call you uppity and stuck up. No, I'm just tired of going to jail. Amen. Tired of being hung over every week. Oh, you lame. Well, I'm lame, but I'm walking. Y'all ain't hearing me today. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Wait a minute. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, that's the consequences if you live for you. But when you let the Spirit guide you, you will live eternally. You're investing in something that is eternal. Flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All this stuff that you and I are running behind, these jobs and these cars and these creature comforts, you can't take that stuff with you. Y'all remember the story about that man died, right? And he told his wife, you know, when I die, I'm taking all my money with me. And so when they got to the funeral, she wrote that man a check and put it in the grave with him. Because you can't take that stuff with you. And many of us are killing ourselves trying to make a living and ain't making a life. I gotta get it, man. I'm grinding. Gotta chase the bag. Yeah, I know about chasing the bag. I know about that. Chasing the bag. That's good. Because if a man don't work, he don't what? He don't eat. But you won't even eat. because you're too busy working. Trying to get stuff. You ain't working because you won't have to. You're working because you want to. So you can say, I got more than y'all. Look at what I'm doing. Look what I've accomplished. You can't even enjoy it. Why buy a car you can't drive? Why buy a couch can't nobody sit on? That's crazy. Get off my couch. I just got that. What you got it for? You got a whole living room suit. Nobody can live in there. I done got in trouble now, ain't I? Y'all beat the dog out of them children. Get off my couch. Get off the coffee table. Don't sit on that. It's a couch. Don't be rocking back in that recliner. That's what it does. It reclines. Don't be rocking back in that thing. Tear it up. What you bought it for? Oh, I'm in trouble now, man. I'm in trouble now. I done got in a world of trouble now. Y'all tax money on that stuff, didn't you? Y'all did. Them taxes hit, you went straight to Ivan Smith, didn't you? My bad, man. Yeah, the plastic, yeah. I grew up on that. Get off that couch. That's for company. Ain't nobody gonna come over here if they can't sit down. All right. You got the power to choose. And then if you go live better, you got to understand something. You got the power to choose and also understand that your position now has changed. Y'all with me? Look what verse 14 says. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. To be running after the flesh, to live after the flesh, makes you a slave. It keeps you and I in bondage. People who live like that are not ever free because they always got to pay the penalty. Oh, it's quiet now. That's the consequences that the devil don't tell you, that you'll always be on the books. You'll always have to suffer unworthily chasing after your flesh. Amen. Chasing after your flesh keeps you in trouble. So God has now, because we can live better, Jesus came to take us from slavery to sonship. Y'all missed it. He came to take us to be from being slaves of God to being sons of God. From being in trouble to having triumph. From being left out to being brought in. Oh, thank you, Lord. That when you can live better now, you realize your position, your status has now changed. Can I talk to you? Adoption is the process by which a father takes a child and makes him as one of his. Y'all missed it. It's a legal term. Adoption is the father taking a child that don't have a father, an orphan, or someone in some non-custodial situation, and bringing them in and making them live as though they are their child, with all rights and all privileges that come with being their child. Y'all don't appreciate that. God sprout us who are nothing but sinners. And wait a minute now, can I park right here? It's not y'all have sinned and fallen short. All. Y'all missed that. Because many of us like to say, y'all have sinned. But the Bible says, all, even you deep folks who ain't never done nothing wrong, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he took us who are sinners, saved by grace, brought us into his holy family. And he didn't just bring us in and call us a stepchild. He brought us in, and we have the same privileges of a child as though he gave birth to us. Y'all missing God. Y'all don't appreciate nothing God do. The reason you up in his house right now, because you a son. not a slave. The reason he let you do stuff for him is because you're a son and not a slave. He ain't treating you like a stepchild. He ain't giving you stepchild blessings. He ain't giving you stepchild mercy. He ain't giving you stepchild grace. Every bit of blessing he gave you is because you his child. Every gift he give you because you his child. He bring you out because you his child. He ain't treating you like a stepchild. You are his child. You are the apple of his eye. You are close to his heart. He brought you in and treats you like you are his. To the point as though you don't even remind yourself of where you come from. And so because your position has changed, you got to live better. Here's the problem. You can bring folk out of Egypt, but you can't get to Egypt out of them. And that's why y'all sat down when the man of God just told you that you've been adopted into the family of God. Because you can't celebrate the fact and don't appreciate the fact that God has made you a child because you're still living like a sinner. You're still living any kind of way, so you don't appreciate the fact that God saw that, sees that, and will see that, and brought you in with your won't say amen, with your won't say thank you, Jesus, with your won't appreciate God's self. Brought you out, brought you in, set you down, set you up. And when the world see you, they don't see where you come from. They see where you are now. I was that, but now I'm this. I was here, but now I'm there. I was that, but now I'm this. He brought me from here, and now I'm there, all by the grace of God. Could it be that you can't appreciate that because you ain't moved? Could it be you haven't changed your position? Uh-oh. Because you can bring people out. You can bring them out of slavery. But you got to do a lot of work to get that slavery mindset. Come here, children of Israel. You done brought us here to die. Barriers all around us. The Red Sea in front of us. Enemy behind us. It'd have been better if you just left us in Egypt. At least we had some food. At least we were doing better than what we're doing right now. Wasn't the objective was for you to get out? And some of us would rather stay in bondage because it's comfortable. I know what to expect. Half a man better than no man at all. What else I'm gonna do besides hustle? Man won't hire me. Might as well gonna stay hustling. Why go to school? I ain't gonna need that in real life. Why go? I might as well quit and get on the corner. Because you can bring them out and you can change the position, but you gotta change the mindset. Why is Harriet Tubman dying and sacrificing her life for people who won't sacrifice for themselves? Why Dr. King marching for people who won't even ride a bus to school? Because you can bring us out of it, but our mind ain't out of it yet. And so we may be victorious, but many of us don't have a victorious mindset because we don't want to dare to be courageous enough to step away from what I was in. I dare you think something different. Because you can't do something different till you think something different. And true vision, oh, help me, Holy Ghost, hold your boy. Vision is something that you have not seen before. And too many of us are basing stuff on what we've seen. Ain't nobody ever done that before. That's why he gave it to you. Nobody's ever done that before. That's why he gave it to you. No one's ever started a business over here. That's why he put it in your hand. But you keep basing on people who ain't been nowhere, who hadn't done nothing, who hadn't gone anyplace. And God has called you as his son to come out. Now, you got to understand this. He didn't call you a child right here. He called you a son because son is a legal term. That means that when the devil want to bring charges, he can't bring charges against God's son. He can bring charges against God's child, but he can't bring charges against God's son because every time he see God's son, he see the blood of Jesus. Every time he see God's son, he see how he washed you white as snow. He sees not what you've done, but he sees what you are now. And the blood of Jesus has washed you whiter than snow. And so appreciate it now. You can live better. Yes, you can. When you got power to choose, you can live better when your position has changed. And then lastly, you can live better because you're partnered with Christ. You can always live better because you're partnered now with Christ. Look what he says. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. In other words, he's saying, since you his child, since you his son, you are now an heir. Because heirs are entitled to an inheritance. Good God up from heaven. Y'all don't see that. See, we don't know that kind of stuff as heirs because we don't leave wills and we don't know nothing about estate planning. What we do is fight over who beneficiaries is over stuff. But when you're doing true estate planning, God sets his estate up that when God ain't around, in case Jesus die, I know who I'm going to give it to. I got future generations on my mind. I've got Winfield, Louisiana on my mind. 2,000 years ago, he had me on his mind. He has you on his mind. And he set up the estate that when my son die and they receive my son and they receive me, they go get some of my inheritance. Lord have mercy. Y'all don't appreciate nothing God do. God has set up everything for you. All you got to do is keep on living. You ain't got to preach right. You ain't got to sound right. You ain't got to look right. All you got to do is believe and receive and everything in your heart that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and you got an inheritance. He calls you an heir. Lord have mercy. Do you know what you're walking on right now? You're walking on heir property. This is something that God has already set up that only his heirs can come in. Only his heirs can come to his house and give him glory and worship his name and celebrate his goodness and get blessings and get healing and see miracles. You're on heir property right now. Look what he says. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can I bless you real quick with that? Not only are you a son of God as an heir, but you are close to God enough where Abba Father's Aramaic to mean daddy. That he's not just your father, but he is your daddy. Ain't nothing like a daddy who can hold you in his arms. Ain't nothing like a daddy who can rock you to sleep at night. Ain't nothing like a daddy who can give you comfort. Ain't nothing like a daddy who can give you joy and sorrow. Ain't nothing like a daddy who can give you peace and problems. Do anybody in here besides me, thank God that he's my daddy. But your partner. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, y'all missed it. Your earthly father ain't leave you nothing. But your heavenly father got you set up perpetually. Some of us, wait a minute, this ought to really hit home for some of y'all, because unfortunately in our demographic, some of us don't even know our earthly father, but you got a heavenly father who took his place. And you got a new identity. You got a new DNA. You don't look like your earthly father. You start to look like your heavenly father. Tell your neighbor, you look just like your daddy. Now, who is your daddy? Because don't the old adage say that if you feed them long enough, y'all missed it. Has he been good to you? You all start looking like it. Has he fed you? You all start looking like it. Has he brought you out? You ought to start looking like it. Has he given you a new day? You ought to start looking like it. Has he given you miracles? You ought to start looking like it. Look at it. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint, joint heirs with Jesus. Joint heirs with Christ. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jesus came as the only begotten Son of God. How am I a joint heir? I became a joint heir when I joined Jesus. And when I joined Jesus, now I joined his heirship. And now I got the same privileges that Jesus got. I got the same power that Jesus got. I got the same peace that Jesus got. I got the same ability that Jesus got. I got the same promise that Jesus got. Because I'm a joint heir. Y'all missed it. Y'all ain't getting it. You know why you ain't getting it? Because you're looking at it one-sided. But when you understand you're partnered with Christ, yes, you are joined with him, but you don't forget about something. That if you got to be joined with him, he's joined with you. So everywhere you've been, he was there with you. In that storm, he was there with you. In that circumstance, he was there with you. When you were sick, he was there with you because you're joined. Y'all ain't feeling this, I'm done. Y'all ain't feeling God, I'm done. It makes you want to live better. When you know, because really what do I have to do besides make a choice? It's not even a 12-step program. It's receiving what's been done for me already. Joint heirship with Jesus, that if you partake in his suffering, you will partake of the glory. Now, you can't just be a child of God and everything good happen for you. It's not always going to be ice cream and cake. It's not. But the word of God says, if you can just remember that what you are going through, he already handled. Because what you and I go through won't be compared to what our big brother went through 2,000 years ago. He died bad so you can live better. Y'all missed it. 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 He's right now sitting at the right hand of God. He's overseeing every situation we got. He's presiding over every problem we got going on. Your big brother, who you're joint with, is right now looking down over you, and he's overseeing and presiding over every problem, every circumstance, every hardship, every heartache. He's looking down on it, interceding to God on your behalf because you're joint heirs. The problems you got do hurt. The issues you have are real. But nothing you and I are going through can compare to what he already handled. Watch this. Watch what kind of God you serve. But you will not have the same suffering, but you'll receive the same glory. Where did I say he was? At the right hand of God, in heavenly places. That's where you belong. That's where you're headed. That's your chosen final destination. Everything you're dealing with here is not the glory part. Lord have mercy. Any suffering that you're enduring cannot be compared to what he already suffered for. And your big brother, who you are joint with, is so much a big brother. Wait a minute. Can I break it down like this? The reason why my brother got away with murder is because he saw me get in enough trouble for doing it. So he found a slicker way to do the dirt and not get in trouble for it because big brother already went that way. Some stuff he watched me suffer from, he didn't have to suffer from because he watched me. I covered some stuff that he didn't have to go through because I already got the punishment that should have came his way. That's the same thing Jesus did for you and I. He went through enough suffering that you and I ain't got to suffer no more. Big brother already hounded. All we got to do is walk in and receive.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483, or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.
He's a wonder in my life.